T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego.
I mean, if you're going to learn any language, you figure out how to, you know,
curse words first.
Curse at somebody.
Can we swear in Spanish on the radio?
No.
What about French?
You know what? French is fine.
What, why'd you just do that?
French is fine.
French is fine.
I was being facetious.
So
Okay, your first FCA violation.
It goes without saying, but Derek White picked a good time to have a kid.
What a hot start here for the Boston Celtics. This is a 21-point turnaround here in the first quarter.
And Jimmy Butler, maybe not that scary.
You know who Jimmy Butler reminds me of?
Hell.
Who that? Hannibal Lecter.
What?
We picked through the beating the Celtics put on the Heat as we broadcast live from Trevor Story's house.
There's a drive to left field. Way back. A 3-home run game for Trevor Story. Can you believe it?
Lou Merlone.
Just maybe float it. Just float it. Okay. C-sections are really hard recovery, I understand.
Why can't we zoom?
Christian Fourier.
You do not take the cheese.
So it's not even about seeing the birth of your child. You just don't want to get a doghouse with mama?
Yes.
Megan Ottolini.
You're only funky as your last hit. That's what the kids say, I think.
Merlone, Fourier, and Mego are live from the Ford Clubhouse Studio at Fenway.
The line is, you're only as funky as your last cut.
Oh, last cut. There
good
you
enough.
Go.
Okay.
All right, close enough. All right, let's move on. Let's pretend like that didn't happen.
On Boston Sports Original.
Daddy needs to play for the Celtics because we got to win.
WEEI.
Well, the Celtics did win. Hello, everybody. What do you say, Foyer?
Hello, Lou.
Mego.
What's going on?
We are down here at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse studio. We're going to be here. We're going to be here for every single home game. Every single one
this
of them.
Is,
just during
this
the
is,
year.
This, I'm so excited for this. It's an unbelievable situation. Great TVs, great microphones, and you know, we've got a coffee maker. We can talk to Tyler. It's awesome. Welcome.
Mego, you've never been down to these studios, have you?
No, I haven't.
No, you're styling.
There's a bunch of kegs in front of us.
Yeah, which is good. Maybe
makes
we'll
you
tap
feel like
into
you're
a
back
couple
in
of
college.
Those things.
Hold on. Most of them are empty, so don't have any crazy ideas
well,
here.
Listen, we're just sitting here thinking. I don't know. So, listen, we got some stuff to get to here. There's no question about it. We are at Fenway Park. We'll get to Trevor Story and the Red Sox, his night, in the next hour. But we got to start off with what happened down in Miami. An absolute beatdown. 127-102. Dare I say it wasn't even that close.
Nah.
25-point victory. This thing so far is really shaping up with kind of what we saw in that last round, right? Like a first game, you didn't quite understand what was going on, what happened. They weren't ready against the Bucks, and then they came out game two, and they did exactly what they did last night. That was impressive.
Yeah, non-competitive. It was very odd the way... It was a very boring game. Like, very boring game. There was no just passion whatsoever. I mean, I couldn't even get excited about like the shots in the crowd. There was nothing even going on there. They start off slow.
Yeah, because they left.
No, I know, right? Like, how about that? How about the beginning of the second half? And most arenas and stadiums, you know, most guys, I'm still getting food. I'm going to the bathroom. Then I'm show up late. They didn't show up, and then they just stayed away. Once they realized that this game was over, and it was just a matter of time, they're just gonna just ride it out until it was over.
Yeah, I mean, look, it looked like a JV team playing a varsity team, right? At the best moments, because they came out, Miami came out putting up a couple points, and then the Celtics just took off. I mean, they came out guns blazing. They were so much more physical than they were in the first game, which is what mostly stood out to me. I think having Al Horford and Marcus Smart back in there obviously was the big game
calming
changer.
Effect.
But everybody ate last night. Like, that's the thing that jumps out to me is, yeah, that you scored, you were shooting lights out and everything, but Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart did such an excellent job of moving the ball around and getting everybody theirs. It was a complete team effort.
So here we are again, victims of the moment. One day you're upset and the world is ending, and now everybody's, you know, saying, listen, you know, get your tickets and you find a spot for the parade route. Get the duck boats ready. The Celtics are going to the finals.
Well, I was never worried.
I don't think it's an overreaction at all. Like, I really don't. Like, I think we overreacted from game one, and we somehow forgot that two of the five starters weren't playing in game one. We somehow forgot that, like, basically the heart and soul of the Celtics and Smart and Horford didn't play in game one. And the defensive player of the year and another elite defender and Al Horford didn't play. And it started turning like, oh, you can't stop Jimmy Butler and watch out for the Heat. No, they got two-fifths of their starters back. And are they going to shoot lights out? No, but they are the better team. It should go five. It might go six.
Three.
But I'm not overreacting by any means when I say they're the better team. They're a better team. I mean, they just overwhelmed them last night. Will they win by 25 every single night? No. But they're going to win by 8 to 10 because they're just that much better than them.
And will they shoot at such a high percentage?
No.
And there will
they
be,
won't have to.
There will be some games where it's contested and it's challenging and the circumstances will be something like they were in game one or even in some of the series, you know, against the Bucks. But and I think that's where, you know, you sit there, for me at least, you get kind of, you know, irritated with you should know better by now. Like, having a third quarter like you had in game one should never happen. Like, it can happen for a short period of time, but the fact that it just snowballed into the debacle that it was and 39-14 difference in points in one quarter. So, fine, you learned your lesson again. Fine, great. Everybody's healthy, great. You know, I mean, yes, do I think they can, you know, do I think they're going to win in three? No, they're going to win in four now.
Three is off the table.
Three is off the table.
I originally had this series going six games, and I'm actually recalculating that after last night because I feel watching that game with everybody, for the most part, healthy and out there, except for Derek White, who made a great decision being at the hospital.
Oh, now he did.
He clearly didn't need to be there last night.
Daddy needs to play for the Celtics because we got to win.
Well, they did.
But I just think Miami looks completely outmatched when everybody's out there. Rob Williams back on the boards, and then you have Al Horford who can spread it out. And I'll tell you what, like, Miami tried to switch up everything that they could. Like, they tried to get every switch that they could, but it was like a pick your poison scenario where it's like, okay, even if you switch on to Peyton Pritchard there, guess who's right behind him? Big Daddy Al, like, ready to shut it down. Okay, you get it away from Marcus Smart, who's there? Grant Williams is right there to back it up. Like, they just had no answer for the Celtics' now signature defense.
No, they don't. And now you got P.J. Tucker dealing with a knee. He's getting an MRI. He's a defender. He can get after it a little bit. But after the first, 2 minutes? Like, you didn't see him the rest of the game. They just, and again, look at Miami, and it's like Jimmy Butler, we said last night, you know, he's not going to get 41. We said 28. Okay, he got 29. He's a really
just
good player.
Just to spite us.
But they don't, just like with Giannis, like, they don't have enough. Like, Tyler Hero, okay, coming off the bench, he might get hot. You know, Gabe Vincent was a good player for them last night. Struce, like, if they just, like, Bam Adebayo, they are just shutting him out. Like,
yeah, what
their
is
bigs
the...
are just, he doesn't, he's not even existent. Like, they don't have enough. And I think last night, if you're Spoelstra, you're walking in that locker room like, oh, okay, that's the Celtics. Like, that's the team that everyone's talking about playing at a high level. It's right, I sort of forgot they didn't have Smart and Horford the first game. Like, I feel like, I know that Miami's not going to just roll over, but they don't have a chance in this series.
Well, to your point, so in that third quarter, Jimmy Butler tried to do Jimmy Butler things. So
yes.
He tried to take over that game, and for you know, God bless him, he did what he usually does. Third quarter comes around, he goes 6 of 8, 75% from the field, 4 or 5 from the free throw line. He actually missed one. So he gets 16 points. The entire team scores 26 points in the third quarter. And that's where you're thinking, okay, we're going to come out and we're going to do what we did in game one. Well, there was only three other people who actually contributed, and that was Gabe Vincent. He gave you 6 points.
He had a good game.
And then you had, Victor Oladipo gave you two. And then who else? Duncan Robinson gave you two.
Jeff Howe.
They don't.
Will Fleming.
That is, I mean, everyone wants the point. So the point is that can he carry this team by himself? The answer is no.
No.
No, I think if we're talking about Gabe Vincent post game, then you're in a bad position. Honestly, like, you got to have these. There are other stars on this Miami team, and I know PJ Tucker. Like, we don't know what the status is going to be there, but Bam Adebayo, like, Oladipo, even Tyler Hero, like, these guys have got, if they're going to have any chance against this Celtics team, which really just has so much versatility, That's the thing with the Celtics compared to this Heat team. The Heat are kind of like at one speed, and they'll come at you with their defense. But even when they were trying to trap Jason Tatum last night, Tatum looked like, I learned my lesson in game one. I'm not falling for this again. He was releasing the ball so quick to his teammates. Like, that turnaround to me is very impressive because it tells me he sat down, he watched the tape, he listened to what everybody said and was like, that is absolutely not happening again.
So even with that, even in that third quarter, right, so they get their 26 points. Jimmy Butler does everything. He does everything. And it didn't really matter because the Celtics scored 26 points on their own. And Marcus Smart, well, he didn't match the points, but hell, at least he had help. He gave you 11 points. Jason Tatum gave you 7. Al Horford, you know, with 2. But ultimately, then you had Grant Williams with 4. There's just, like, for us to think, or for me to think, because I really was believing that somehow, like,
you
Jimmy
wanted
Butler.
To win?
No, I didn't. I wanted well, Jimmy. Kinda. Jimmy Butler did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, Jimmy
did. He did Jimmy thing. So he gave you his third quarter push. He's like, all right, let's push now. But it just wasn't enough. So under the best circumstances for him, trying to take over a game, he got no help. And that's just the way, like, so what would it look like if it would look like, could they give you 3-4 quarters of what they did in the third quarter? Not a chance.
It doesn't even look like they can give you like more than a half of it, Miami. I mean, Miami was good in the second half. They were better in the second half last night than they were in the first half, not including when, you know, all the bench guys got cleared out in the fourth quarter. They were better. And then in game one, they were certainly better in the second half. I don't think I just don't think Miami can withstand a full game against this Celtics
They're
team.
They're going to need some luck.
So much the best, bigger.
The best part, I know, it's a size. It's overwhelming. The best part of that third quarter was the answer, right? Because you sort of, watching this game, it was 25, 27 points. Next thing you know, they get it down to 17. And it's like, oh, here we go. And I'm like, no. Like, it's not going to happen. And then they went on a 10-2 run to make it back up to 25 again. And you're like, yeah, that's the difference. You know, that's the difference. So this team is just, they without Kyle Lowry, the bottom line, like, would they be better? Sure, because they'd be deeper, right? Guys would be coming off the bench.
I still don't think it would be a series with Lowry.
Well, I'm just saying, they're a better team with Kyle Lowry, you know, and then you have guys, Vincent coming off the bench, whatever. It's just sort of like Milwaukee. The reality was Middleton wasn't there. So are we going to talk about whether they're better with Middleton? No, because he's not going to be there. You know, so he's definitely out. Lowry is definitely out. But to just look at game one and think that you could read something off of that. You took 2 starters off of a basketball team. Like, what are we doing, right? And when I look at this, I'm like, they don't, Giannis had better people around him, I felt like. Like, he had other guys around him, you know, like a Drew Holiday or a Bobby Portis. Now, they didn't play very well. Grayson Allen, Connaughton, they didn't play very well. Brooke Lopez had an impact in that series. He had more around him than Jimmy Butler does, if you ask me. Like, I think that he's got more than Jimmy, and I don't think the cast around Jimmy Butler is enough to make this series interesting like the Bucks did.
What do you think it's like being around Jimmy Butler today?
He's pissed.
Like, what
well,
do you
did
think
you
it's
hear
like?
Him? I think you, I mean, on one hand, I'm like, all right, now we really pissed him off.
Right.
Now he's really angry.
Oh, so now you're scared.
Oh, somebody's going to pay.
Oh, so Celtics should be scared.
Oh, you bet. Oh, Jimmy's coming to take his, to get some answers. And
Jimmy could come all
Jimmy's
he wants.
Jimmy's angry.
He's not happy right now.
Jimmy could come all he wants. It's sort of like, what do you think Marcus Smart was like after sitting out game one and watching it, right? It's like they're both kind of built the same way. Jimmy can come out and be great in game three, but I just still don't think.
That's
you know,
enough. I don't think that's
going to matter.
See, the thing with Butler is that, okay, great. So you waited till the third quarter to kind of determine that it was time to take over. What he needs to do is do it in the first and second quarter, and then in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter. He can't just, you know, cherry pick which quarters he's going to decide to try to take over the game or wait for somebody else to find a nice shooting rhythm so they contribute to points. And I don't think he can sit there and take over every single quarter. Like, I just don't think he can do it.
No, Christian, he's not Giannis,
help.
You
yeah.
know?
Well,
he doesn't have it.
He's still more dangerous.
All right, listen, it's Maloney, Foria, and Mega. We are down here at the Ford Clubhouse down at Fenway Park. Our studio's down here. When we come back, I want to dive more into Marcus Smart. It wasn't crazy that he was staying in this game to get a triple-double? We'll hear from Marcus Smart and Jimmy Butler, you know, after this break. Celtics fans, how do you feel now returning home after game one, after seeing game two? 617-779-7937. It's Maloney, Foria, and Mega.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Like to watch? Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
How do you just move on from it? You toss out the tape, or you kind of just, or do you try to learn as much as you can from it before you move on to game three?
I mean, yeah, you do got to move on. I don't like to move on from this because it has to hurt. They tried to embarrass us. They did embarrass us. So I think we got to realize that. Use it as fuel, whatever you want to say, but realize that the game can get out of hand whenever you're playing against a really good team like them that can score the ball and get stops. So overall, we just have to be better. We got a tough job to do to go over there and win, but if they did it, we can do it as well.
Oh no.
Jimmy Butler, post game, talking about the Celtics embarrassing. He doesn't want to forget it. And that's great. Good for him. You shouldn't forget it.
Oh, you know, man, like, you done did it now.
I would think the Celtics kind of felt like they were embarrassed in the third quarter. I mean, it's just kind of the way it goes, right? It's one of those things.
You done did it now.
Oh, now you
done
think,
pissed them off.
Now you think he's pissed off.
I don't like to move on from this because it has to hurt. About it?
Listen to this guy. Listen to him. He's like, you gotta embrace the pain.
Oh, please.
You gotta like embrace it.
He plays
and you gotta filter it through.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's more likely in this series, that the Heat push it to 7 or that Jimmy Butler tries to fight Eric Spoelstra again?
Oh, easily. I'm going with fight. Someone is going to pay for this loss, and it's probably going to be the weakest link, you know, and that would be Spoelstra. He's going to blame Spoelstra somehow, or maybe it's Strus. I don't know. Maybe it's – who else could it be? You can't, Tyler
like
Hero?
He won't go after Tyler Hero. Hero's like too gangster.
It's too valuable.
By the way, it is Merlone, Fourier, and Mega. We are live in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. We are here before every Red Sox home game. It's brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and Ford Trucks, the official truck of the Red Sox. I think Jimmy Butler is... Remember how we saw Giannis just sort of wear down physically? And I felt like how we sort of saw maybe KD or Kyrie Irving sort of wear down mentally when they realized that they just couldn't beat this team. I think Jimmy Butler, we're going to start seeing that about game four. I think we're going to just start seeing him like give it everything he's got because you respect him. He plays hard, offense, defense, everything else. But I think that slow walk back to the locker room after games, you're going to start seeing that head down like we just can't beat this team. They're just too deep. They're too big.
Yeah, I don't think that's in Jimmy Butler's DNA to react that way. If anything, like I said, and this is just who he's been at every stop that he's made, I think he's more likely to lash out at the at the people who are not, which is kind of fair. I mean, maybe it doesn't make you the best teammate,
but you know what?
He's the emotional leader here, and if Oladipo and Adebayo are not freaking showing up in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I'm Jimmy Butler, then I probably am, like, challenging them to, you know, scrimmage against me in practice or whatever he did again when he was with the Wolves. Like, that
was him
ridiculous.
And four scrubs against the starters in Minnesota. Yeah.
How would you like to be one of those scrubs and have people ask you, like, hey, weren't you one of the worst guys on the team who Jimmy Butler pointed out and was like, you're with me. This is how good I am. You suck.
Yeah.
And we're going to take on the starting
lineup. What a great team leader.
But that's who he is. Like, I don't see him going hang dog and hanging his head. I see him getting, like, that was pretty hangdog yesterday media, but I see him, like, lashing out.
I will say that I do think he has some fight in him, but I am a little bit on Lou's side because it does become, like, a lot. It overwhelms you, just your lack of ability just to catch up.
Is it like how you felt when you were in Washington?
Exactly.
This is just depressing.
Yes, you kind of realize your fate, but there is, I know we're joking, but there is something to that. You go, I remember just getting, you know, our asses kicked by certain teams and going, we can't beat them. We don't have the personnel. We don't have the coaching. They have the coaching. I just don't think they have the bodies. No. Some of their starters should be coming off the bench. Like, Tyler Hero should be starting.
All right.
Like, that's what they should start with there.
All right, Celtics fans, are we getting ahead of ourselves? Or you're like me. I mean, you pretty much feel like this thing is over. Like, they can't match up. 617-779-7937. I want to hear more from Jimmy Butler praising one Marcus Smart and the impact he had in game two.
As a defensive player of the year, night in, night out, taking that matchup and being able to play on both sides of the ball, that's crucial for them. He was a big part of them winning this game tonight, along with Al Horford. Obviously, JT and JB do what they do, but they came out and wheeled that organization, that team, to a dub. So you got to respect him and what he does.
So, Mago, before yesterday, we were talking about more of an impact, right? Al Horford or Marcus Smart. And I think all of us kind of agreed it was going to be Marcus Smart, given the team you're playing. Was that the Marcus Smart game? Because he was fantastic. He was defensively setting tones, getting steals early on in that game, hitting shots. It just seemed like the energy he brought, he was the difference. There's your Smart game.
He was definitely the difference. I don't know, because it was such a good game for Jaylen Brown, too. I thought that was the best that Jaylen Brown looked through these playoffs, the closest he came to a complete game. He was draining threes early.
One turnover.
He was very physical. He was all over the court in a way that he had that fire. Like, Jaylen Brown sometimes gets this fire lit from inside him that we don't get to see very often. We see it like once every seven games. And when it happens, he goes off. And I felt like that was the first time that we saw it in these playoffs. I want to call it the Smart game, but it feels like he has a half.
Oh, he has a half. All right. So now he's got a full game.
What he did was so closely matched by Brown and Tatum. I feel like it's more just like the Stars game. Like, your starters showed up. We always talk about in the playoffs, role players, even if they are starters, like Horford having games. But it was like your big dog showed up tonight. And because of that, everybody got to eat.
So, you know, I was kind of mocking Ime a little bit, just playfully, you know, with the whole, like, after game one, like, you know, our calming effect. You know, we need those guys. You know, we need our teddy bears. It's like the team can't, you know, coexist in a bad situation without Al Horford and Marcus Smart. But it seemed like that's kind of what the situation is. Like, Marcus Smart and Al Horford are like the voice of reason and the calming presence that the team needs when things get hectic and chaotic. Like, I mean, yes, it's like, here, the adult comes back in the room and it's like he's the closer. He's the wolf. Like, he just handles everything. If there's a problem, Wolfie comes in and settles it. That's what Marcus Smart and Al Horford is. You got to give him a new nickname now.
Why don't you lost me there? Wolfie? Why is he a wolf?
Have you now I don't remember the movie I'm thinking about with what movie?
Like, I think of a wolf, like a wolf pack.
Ryan knows.
He's the leader.
Quentin Tarantino movie.
So with a wolfie?
Yeah. Let me ask you.
You're referencing either Pulp Fiction or Reservoir Dogs, I think.
Reservoir Dogs.
Okay.
Reservoir Dogs.
Both movies. Yes.
All right, listen, I want to get more into Marcus Smart, but let's get to the phone calls. How confident are you, Celtics fans, right now with the way this series, with the way Game 2 went moving forward? 617-779-7937. Let's go to Eddie in the car, if that works. Go ahead, Eddie.
guys. How are you? What a great Friday afternoon. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend in Boston. The series is all tied up. I'm wondering when it set in for Jimmy Butler that the Celtics team was better. I'm going to guess that probably midway through the third when he said, are you kidding me? These guys are going to keep doing this all the way. Reality set in, and that's when they realized, holy cow, we don't match up against the Celtics. Feel good? Of course we feel good. I'll tell you what I learned. I learned when the Celtics have all their players and they come to play, they can't be beat. That's what happened with them last night. They came to play.
Thanks, Eddie. I don't know if they can't be beat, you know, but it was really, when you think about Rob Williams out there and Al and Smart, I mean, when was the last time all three of these guys worked together, you know, playing, you know, and it's just, you look at it. I don't think Jimmy Butler felt like that after game one, or game two, I should say. Because he's probably looking at it like, they got hot, no big deal. It wasn't our night. It's 1-1, we go to Boston. I think it settles in after game three. I think it settles in at halftime of game four when he's just like, you know, the answer, what he expects the answer to be from this Heat team, they come in game three ready to go and it's still not enough. Then I think it starts settling in more and more with every single game.
Yeah. So, sorry, go ahead.
No, Christian. I was going to say, like, just think about the opportunity that they have on Saturday, really, because now they probably think they can come in, they just kind of laid an egg, they just thought they could roll the basketball out there and just kind of show up, and maybe they felt like they had a nice little cushion, and they stole one, and you know what, so they weren't as, you know, uptight about it. Can you, like, so to me, this is the Celtics' opportunity to really not fall into the situation that they fell in against the Bucks. You win one, we win one, we learn our lesson, you learn your lesson, and we push this thing to seven games. I don't think they need to do that. This needs to be a situation where, okay, we screwed up, we messed up. Let's not allow ourselves to kind of trip over our own shoelaces when we host them at home for the first game. Go up 2-1. Like, take their soul away from them, because they will give up.
Like what they did in game three. I mean, they blew them out in game two, the Bucks, and they came out at halftime, and they were still up big. What was it, 8 or 10 at halftime? And then that third quarter happened, and they got careless with the basketball. You know, was it like a great game two, a great first half? And then they start getting a little overconfident. Yeah, we are a great team, and then they just didn't show up in the third quarter. I think this team learns its lesson. I hope they learned their lesson. And I think you see a little different here at the Garden Saturday night.
I think if you're the Celtics, you got to keep just stepping on their neck.
Yeah.
Because if you're in Miami and you're trying to find the silver lining or the glass half full perspective, you're looking at last night and saying, okay, this team is not going to shoot over 51% at, like, every game. They're not going to have Jason Tatum, you know, drain like four threes and have Smart drain five threes and Jaylen drain four threes. Like, that's just not going to happen every game. That's an aberration. But even so, it's like, okay, that might get you within a 4-point game with them. I guess then maybe you might be able to get some kind of emotional edge over them. They're just totally outmatched.
Well, would you say, if I said, oh, the Celtics have a killer instinct, would you agree?
A killer instinct? I don't know. I like.
Then the answer's no.
Okay, I would say no.
Yeah.
I actually think that this team, and I give Ime Udoka a lot of credit, because I think we saw with these personnel under Brad Stevens, I thought Brad Stevens was a good coach. He was a great X's and O's coach. But there was some kind of emotional disconnect in the last two seasons that he was there after they went into the bubble. And this Heat team, well, a different Heat team, but this franchise, you know, stomped out their hopes of going to the finals in the bubble against the Lakers. I think that Ime Udoka has to be given credit for getting these guys disciplined in a sense where winning is not going to be easy, guys. And this team looks the worst when they look like they think that it's going to be an easy win for them. That's when they fall apart. That's when they fell apart in game one. And it's like, dude, you didn't have two of your great players out there. So a killer instinct, I actually don't see it with this team. They need to be pushed.
Yeah, I feel like they're close to having a killer instinct. I feel like they're really
close.
Can you
develop an instinct?
No, I feel like, okay, game first series, yes, against the Nets. Yeah, you closed them out. Like, you could have, like, you know, just kind of rested on the first three games. But, you know, you didn't want to just let them have life. You took it away from them. And with the Bucks, different situation, maybe a different animal, championship team with a different DNA. You were going to have to fight them to the finish. This Heat team, I feel like they have the right mentality. I just don't think that they have the muscle. That's mm-hmm. it. So they're going to be fighting you, and they're going to be gnawing and scratching and clawing to save their lives. But I just feel like that's when you really need to say, let's just be done with them now.
I think the Celtics, this group is learning that. Like you said, can you teach it, or can you learn it? Yeah, you can learn it through experience. You can learn in playing a game and trying to just run the clock out because you've got a 14-point lead to find yourself like, what did we just do? You know, and even in this game when you look at it, they're up 10. They were down 10. Next thing you know, they're up 20. Well, okay, now they're up 30. You know what I mean? It wasn't – they're learning that you can't take your foot off the gas. Now, there's been some stumbles even the last couple of weeks, but I think they are learning. I wanted to ask you guys, were you surprised that Ime stuck with some of these guys – as long as they did in the third, fourth quarter? I mean, it's a 31-point victory, and Marcus Smart, who missed his first game because of a sprained foot or whatever the hell he's got going on, is still out there in the court. Is he trying? Are they trying to get him the triple double? They're trying to get him a rebound. It's like Jason Tatum didn't play in the fourth quarter. Rob Williams didn't play in the fourth quarter. Perfect. I would think Marcus Smart would be the first guy you'd want to get off the court, the guy that missed the first game because he was hurt.
And Jaylen Brown was out there, too, and he's got a bad hammy he's been nursing
one.
For a while.
It's 31 points.
Well, okay, well, can I say something? Is anyone else a little...
to go.
I guess, for me, I was, like, okay with it because I just was, based on what happened in game one in the third quarter, I was like, I don't feel good about anything. Let's remove all doubt.
In the fourth quarter?
I know. 30? I'm just saying. I'm just saying, like, and for the record, like, Jaylen Brown, like, 5 minutes. Al Horford, 5 minutes. Marcus Smart, 6 minutes.
Grant so, was in for seven. He was in
they
for
should
half
keep
the
him
quarter.
In there. He should
oh,
keep him in there.
What is this, a
keep
punishment?
Him in there. Yes.
These are punishment
now
minutes.
Now you're the boss. You're the boss of all these other guys that are finally getting some playing time. How about the dudes that were in their shorts and flip-flops on the sideline again, just sitting on the bench? They probably were hoping they could get in. Hey, I'll go grab my shorts and my shoes so I can play also. No, I was, even in the third quarter, I mean, when they were making a run, I know, but I was just, let's just make sure we have no issues.
But they made their run in the third quarter. You answered it with a 10-2 run. It went to 17, back to 25, 27. And then you come out in the first 4 minutes and turn it up to 31. I think we're good. I mean, at that point, I'm looking at a couple of guys that are dealing with some things, whether Jalen's dealing with the hammy, or whether Marcus Smart in his foot, Rob Williams didn't play perfect. I just was like, get these guys out, and they subbed everybody out and left Marcus in for like an extra minute just to get a rebound. Like, what? He had a fantastic game. I don't need a triple-double to put in the end of it. To me, he had a triple-double. I'll give him credit for it. Take him out early. I'll give you credit for it. It was fantastic, but there was just, I don't know, there was no need for it.
No, it's a good point, and it's not just the guys that are hurt or banged up. Like, Al Horford, how much should we talk about? They just came off a 7-game series with the most physical team in the whole league. And Al Horford is 36 and apparently had some kind of weird COVID situation. I don't think it affected his
rested.
Health and how well he felt. But, like, maybe we don't need to have him in for almost 6 minutes in the last quarter. I understand it seems like Ime Udoka knows his team well, knows what the players need in terms of rest versus pushing them and getting them into rhythm and getting them into game rhythm in the playoffs. But at the same time, it's like, let's not push the luck, dude.
Could it be that he was trying to play, Ime Udoka was trying to play these reserves who could potentially crack the rotation at some point with valuable guys like Smart and Jaylen? This could be a lineup he could use later in the later in the playoffs, potentially. Like, you want to see more from Aaron Nesmith.
Well, Nesmith I'm fine with, but Stauskas went in there, right? Oh, he went in for Smart, I think.
Well, like, Pritchard was in for 8.5 minutes, which is fine with me. Because Pritchard,
I'm talking about the starters. The guys, they've got three guys that are dealing with injuries.
Yeah.
Get them all out. All of them. Every single one of them.
But, okay, so Tyler, to your point, you're thinking that this is a chemistry experiment of, can they play with Brown? Can they play with Smart? And how do they complement them?
Potentially, because I think if you just throw in the five guys, like, with Malik Fitz and Luke Kornet, like, you're not gaining anything. Like, of course you're gaining the stars coming off the court and reducing their minutes load, but you're also gaining valuable experience with guys who know how to run the offense, and so more reps you can get with the Nick Stauskas, who's played a lot of games in this league. He could be that shooter that you run off screens for a late second play when you're down three.
Never. Those guys aren't playing in any meaningful minutes, right? You know that, Tyler.
Never. No, I doubt it, but I mean, I'm saying the game experience is actually valuable to coaches.
Sure. No, I agree with you.
So get him more experience.
Yeah.
Get him in there. You know, because I'm just looking at it. And the first guys, you had, again, Williams and Tatum didn't start the fourth. So it was Jaylen, Pritchard, Grant, Smart, and Horford. Okay, there's five guys that play a lot together. And the first subs were Tice and Nesmith. They went in for Jaylen and Horford. So, okay, Nesmith and Tice, they're going to be part of it as well. So you're saying you wanted to lead them in with Smart and some of these other guys, Pritchard and Williams?
Well, I'm saying it's different than, like, Game 7 against the Bucks when you're blowing them out and you're bringing in the last 2 minutes, like, Malik Fitz and Luke Kornet. Like, you're just emptying your bench to get them off the floor. That makes sense. But with the whole quarter and you're up 30, I know the game's not – it's never in doubt at that point, but there is some
– I'm good.
game experience stuff.
So I think at the end of yesterday's show, I think you had a winning by eight.
I had eight.
I had 13. Yeah.
Okay. So everybody was wrong.
What do you mean?
It was a blowout.
Well, I was the closest.
I think Ryan said a blowout. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, mini mud. I said they're going to blow doors. That's exactly what it is. 25 points blowing doors? I think it's
Oh, my God. This is complete
13
blowing
is
doors.
Not blowing doors.
And I'll say this, too. Like the two stars, I should say the superstar you have, Jason Tatum. Like there's been many nights where he had 30 and 34 that weren't as impactful as this one, and he had 27. I mean, 8 for 13 shooting, 4 for 6 from 3, 7 for 7 from the line, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, you know, a steal like this. You know, remember one time we were talking about it, and you're like, what do you want from Tatum? What do you want, 8, 9 points every quarter? It's like, no, I just want it to be meaningful. I want it to be efficient. I don't want it to be hollow. And I would say he and Jaylen Brown both, they didn't go for 35, 40, but those are very good, efficient games from both of them.
No, I think you're right. And the other thing that I just loved from him was the adjustment. Like, he adjusted to the mistakes that he made, not just in the ball handling, but like I said before, that quick release, like not giving them the time to set up a trap on him or try to pick his pocket or anything like that. And just being a lot more crafty instead of letting Jimmy Butler jump his passing lanes. Like, just being more freaking proactive. We don't see a ton of that from Jason Tatum all the time. So I got to absolutely credit him when he brings it in this game.
Yeah, and the other thing, the most of all the issues that they had in game one, you did not see in game two. They shot better. They didn't turn the ball over nearly. I don't think Marcus Smart had a turnover the entire game. And that alone will keep them in every single game.
He had one turnover, FYI.
But 12 assists to the one turnover is like all-time good.
That's 12 really good. Assists, I'm going to say zero. Turnover.
Yeah. He basically had zero.
And that one game he had one assist. Remember, he had one game against the Bucks where he had one assist. He had 12.
It almost shows you how valuable he was, because Jaylen and Jason couldn't initiate the offense, especially without Al Horford. So Smart comes back, and the offense is just flowing and, you know, pedal to the metal.
It's almost like he's a point guard.
Yeah, but it also makes you wonder, like, how hurt was he? Like,
I mean, he does this a lot.
He was hopping around like game one the whole time being a cheerleader. He comes out in game two and looks fantastic.
So you think he wanted just a couple days off before the series?
Maybe we talk about it. It's just being overly cautious. I don't know. And then maybe they've lost Al and they're like, what are we going to do? Just stick with it, right? Overly cautious and leave Smart out. He'll be healthy the rest of the way. Who knows? It worked out. You went out of there 1-1 out of Miami. All right, when we come back, someone in this room would like to compare it to the 08 team that took home Banner 17. We will do that next.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Welcome back to Merlone, Fourier, and Mago down here in the Ford Clubhouse down at Fenway Park. We'll be here for every home game for the Boston Red Sox. We'll get to the Red Sox at the top of the hour. But quickly, I want to get, because Mago brought this up before the show, the Boston Celtics, the team that put up banner number 17, finished the year 66-16, went on to beat the Lakers in the NBA Finals to raise that banner 17. You want to compare this team to possibly that one?
Well, I think it's a fair discussion to start. And obviously, it's premature because this team hasn't even made it to the finals. And they haven't hung a banner yet. But I feel like the ceiling for this team is a lot higher. First of all, just because of the ages of the stars on this team. If you can keep Jaylen and Jason together, keep Smart in the mix, develop some of these younger guys, as Tyler just said, or, you know, some other people like Rob Williams coming up, then I think it's an interesting... There's some interesting parallels between these two teams. So, for example, the 2008 team, if you forgot that run. So they go through the Hawks in game seven in the first round. Then they hit up LeBron's Cavs in the second round. They go seven there. That's where I feel like the parallels begin, because compared to this team having to see Big Bad Giannis and those Bucks going through those seven games, And then after that, in the Eastern Conference Finals, Celts went 6 with Detroit, who I think was obviously just a less talented, less dangerous team. No offense, Christian, than LeBron's Cavs, as the Bucks with Giannis are to now the Miami Heat, judging from the two games that we have so far. And then I wanted to look at the stars on that 2008 team. And obviously we know who the big three are and who the contributors were. Now, Ray Allen famously was not great through those playoffs. And so he was averaging about 15 points per game through those playoffs. Then you got Kevin Garnett, actually had the highest scoring average with about 20 points per game. Paul Pierce came in with 19.7. So through 13 games, I wanted to look at the three top scorers on this team, who are Tatum with 26.9 points per game, Brown 22.5 points per game, and then Horford at 12.8 points per game. But so I just think you on that team, you had Defensive Player of the Year in Kevin Garnett. You have Defensive Player of the Year on this team in Marcus Smart. Again, I don't think as accomplished as Kevin Garnett or that the player that Kevin Garnett is, but much younger. There's just, I'm saying, it's not a crazy conversation to say that this team could be better than the 2018.
Well, I'll tell you what would ultimately make it better is where that group only won one. When it's all said and done, if this group can win just two, if you can just, you know, win two, like not go to a finals and then lose to the Lakers, like, you know, even though you had a lead, I mean, like, it is what it is. But that ultimately, because I do feel like, you know, I think prematurely people want to jump on this team like, okay, next dynasty. It's like, hey, they're like they're replacing the Patriots. Like they're more relevant than the Patriots because they have a greater opportunity for long-term success.
That's a great point because your top five guys, Smart, Horford, Tatum, Brown, and Time Lord, all five under long-term contracts. Horford is the only shortest one, which if they go to the NBA Finals, he's going to get that $26.5 million. Mm-hmm. Fully guaranteed, but all five of your top guys, your starting lineup is all secured, and so is Derek White off the bench. So your top six guys and Peyton Pritchard, really your top seven, is going to be here for 2+ years. This could be the start of a dynasty.
I don't.
Easy.
I don't see why not.
I like this. Everyone's coming over to my side because when I first floated it out there, I think it was our producer Ryan said, "Okay, so they're better than the team that won 62 games and went through LeBron and Kobe."
Yeah, I said
and
that.
I'm like, yeah, okay, that does make me sound kind of dumb. But then when I sat down and crunched it, I was like, no, you went through KD, you went through Big Bad Kyrie, you went through Giannis.
KD was awful.
And you may have to go through Curry and Klay in the finals.
Well,
we'll see when we get there.
This is what it looks like,
you may have
like,
to go
though.
Through Big Bad Luka.
This is what it looks like. Like when you look, if you were able to, you take a 30,000.
In real time, you can never recognize it in real time.
I would say this.
Well, I think you can.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Not only is
you're
it
doing
not
a good job.
Is it not crazy to compare the two? I actually might lean to this team. Now that might be crazy. Whatever. I actually lean to this team. I think defensively, we hold championship teams so close to us, and we think they're so special. And that was a fantastic team. There's no question about it. But like when that team was going on a run, there was a generation that was like, whatever, 86 Celtics would have blown their doors off, you know? And there's some people like, well, defensively, this team might have been better than 80s, whatever. Right? You're comparing generations. This team here defensively, I think, is so connected. And they are so good defensively. I think that they have that dog in Marcus Smart, like KG was. I think you have your two, your elite player. You know, is Jason Tatum, is your Paul Pierce. And I think that ceiling's higher for Tatum. You got your sharpshooter. Are you missing a Ray Allen? Probably.
But isn't that to this team's benefit then? I mean, looking at the other things that this team has. One, it's mostly a homegrown team. The starters who are making differences in these games, you brought up through your drafts. That is very very impressive. And on the other side, as you said, there is no sharpshooter. Your sharpshooter, Ray Allen, didn't show up. He was there in the regular season. He didn't show up in the playoffs, but there's not one guy who's stealing every game in the three-point era that we're in.
They got to win the championship, right? Obviously, to even be in that class. But I would say when you just look at this team, there's been ups and downs. Forget about the win total because we all know this team the last 3 or 4 months found something special. And if they play like it from day one, they might have won 60-plus, okay? They probably would have. But this team, I don't think it's outrageous at all. Let's go to Dimitri in Boston who thinks that we are crazy. What do you say, Dimitri?
You guys are absolutely crazy. Yes, yes. Please do not compare the two teams. It's a different era. But that Celtics team of 08 would spank this team.
I don't think so.
Yes, they will. This team started off slow, They're playing really good now. They're going to beat Miami.
What do you mean now? It's been 4 months. What do you mean now? It's been like 45, 50 games.
We're almost at 6 months.
Yeah, but that other team will destroy this Celtics team. I'm telling you. I know you guys are homers and stuff like that, but there's
yes,
no
we
way.
Are.
Come on.
Always have been. Dimitri, give me one reason why. Just other than just saying they won't. Give me one reason why. What was so different?
They're all better. They're better defensively. They're better offensively. They had everything better.
Historically, one of the best defensive teams in the history of the NBA in the last 4 months.
Nick has Tatum. They have a bunch of good role players. They're really good. There's nothing wrong with this team. This team's going to do well. We're going to go to the finals. We might end up winning it. But to say that the 08 team cannot beat this team, no, it's not happening.
Nobody said that.
Well, Dimitri,
I said, which team
argument.
Is better? And your argument was the 2008 team was better because that was a different era. By the way, we're not talking about the 1990s, 1980s. This is 2008. There was the three-point line, and three-pointers were important. And that's like such the black mark on Ray Allen in those playoffs.
The Celtics have been maybe the best defense I've ever seen.
Ever. Let me go to Charlie in Boston. Charlie, what do you think?
Hey, what's going on? I honestly think, like, if they keep on this pace and they keep, like, at where they are right now, like, if they continue to play the way they do, they should win, like, honestly, the next 3 to 5 years. They should get 3 out of 5, like if they win this year. Because they are, like, they're only going to get better from here. They didn't sell the farm to get to this championship. Like, this is all, it's, like, and when, let's say Al ages out, right? He's done a good job, I think, like, helping Grant Williams along. Like, you got him for a while. Like, it's just, if they play to their potential and they don't have any mental, you know, they could win the next 3 out of 5 years, like
easily. See, here's the thing with this experiment, right? When you think about their path so far, I mean, luck has so much to do with it. Health has so much to do with it. If every team they played was healthy, then we would be – well, not the Heat so much because they're really – Kyle Lowry is the only guy they're missing. But if you just look at the Bucks alone
– Middleton.
The addition of Middleton would paint such a different picture and impose such a different type of challenge for them. That, I mean, okay, fine. If you want to say, okay, next year, because Giannis isn't going anywhere, Middleton isn't going anywhere, that team, as long as they have those two guys, they're going to be able to build around them. Will the Heat add an additional person? Like, what's going to happen with the Brooklyn Nets? Are they all going to stick together? Are they going to play one full season where everybody's, like, on the court at the
Christian,
same time?
Are you saying that after a Game 2 victory, we're getting too ahead of ourselves?
Yes, I am.
The new dynasty?
Not on radio.
Yes. Is that what you're saying right now?
I love it. This is so – this is classic. Well, it's classic. No, it's classic Boston, to be honest with you. I've never seen a comp – like a range of emotions more than I do with Boston fans in any sport. On Monday – was that the first game? Or what was the first game? Was it Tuesday?
It was Monday.
It was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday. What day is it?
Yeah, I'm completely lost right now. So on Tuesday, Wednesday morning, everybody was angry. The only person who wasn't angry, where I actually think, talk about a calming presence, is Ime. I think Ime has a really good understanding of not only this team, but the entire league. Like what they're capable of, what their inefficiencies are, like how he can best utilize his talents, and just he doesn't worry about it.
All right, so the Boston Celtics take game 2, 127-102, and they are the team to beat in the NBA for the next 10 years. The dynasty has begun. I want to leave the Celtics for a minute here. I want to get into, because we're talking about the Trevor Story game here at Fenway Park. Why not? It's a Tatum game. It's a Marcus Smart game. The Trevor Story game last night. We'll discuss some Red Sox. It's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.